Hey, everybody. My name is Eric Ernst. I'm excited to be here to talk about our open source project and some of the community work that we're doing around containers on macOS. So last June, our team at Apple open sourced the Apple Containerization Framework and Container Tooling Projects, which enable developers to be able to create, run, build, push container images directly on their Mac in a way that focuses on security and privacy. Really what we did is we introduced two key projects. One of them, a command line tool called Container, naming is hard. And it allows users, again, to quickly be able to get up and running containers on top of a macOS operating system. The second thing that we open source project-wise is containerization, and this is a framework that allows us to build solutions like that command line tool container. Users will typically interact with just the container, the command line tool, but the core functionality for the project is really behind some simple APIs and containerization. So I want to talk about what I'm going to focus on in this quick session. So I'm going to talk about some of the design principles that guided the work that we're doing. And then I want to briefly talk about, you know, how we designed it to be extensible, and some examples of how developers can go ahead and do that. As well as showing some of the key APIs in containerization. Again, motivation that it's pretty easy to build on top of this. We'll talk about how we wrote it in Swift and what that experience has been. It was a new process for the team. And then we're going to talk a bit more about just overall open source community and what we're doing going forward. So first off, let's talk about the actual design side of things. So in order to run a Linux container on macOS, you need to virtualize a Linux environment. A historical solution is to spawn a large virtual machine for all the different containers. Resources are allocated to that one virtual machine. As containers are added to it, these resources are divvied up per container. When you need to share additional directories and files from your Mac, they're passed to that virtual machine before then they are then passed to the corresponding container that needs it. So one of the areas we focused on was security. And for that, we wanted to have the same level of isolation typical platforms have for their large virtual machines and apply that to every container that is launched. We also want to reduce the need for core utilities or any dynamic libraries or anything else inside of the guest. And this helps both reduce the attack surface and also the burden of maintenance costs for keeping these up to date. We also focus on privacy. Because of that, we want to limit access of what files are needed for that guest virtual machine and do it on a per container basis instead. So only the container requesting a specific directory at that point should have access to those contents. And we want to hit these goals while still providing an efficient and performant experience for end users. So for security, our goal was to provide the same level of isolation used by the large virtual machine and apply that to each and every single container that is started. Containerization does this by running each container in its own lightweight virtual machine while still providing sub-second start times. This also provides the benefit that each container has its own dedicated IP address. So if you've used different solutions, usually what you end up having to do is do different port forwarding magic in order to be able to access a different service. So in this, now you can just access the direct IP of that container workload instead. When sharing directories and files, only the container requesting that directory has access to those contents. And resources like CPU and memory, if there's no containers running, no resources will be allocated. Now, I've said lightweight virtual machine several times, so let me dig into what I mean by that. To be lightweight, we first focus on the actual machine itself, specifically what devices associated with it that we need and what are we virtualizing. Using Apple's virtualization framework, we are using the minimal set of devices that we need for the user experience and nothing else. So thinking of a pair of virtualized devices, not chipsets or machines or anything else, just a virtual socket, virtual block device, network device, and shared file system. This is more aligned with like a micro VM type of model. Also, what we're doing is making sure that that machine itself is sized appropriately. So we have a reasonable default, but then again, we're sizing the virtual machine based on the requests of the actual workload itself. Same exact thing for CPU. So it's a lightweight machine. The next is, what do we do when we turn that machine on? In our case, we direct boot a guest Linux kernel. There's no need for any kind of firmware, bootloader, or anything else. This saves on boot time, as well as it reduces our bill of materials of what we need. Now, for this direct booted kernel, we also wanted to make sure it's a minimal configuration. We chose an ARM64 configuration that, again, addresses our needs, but minimizes otherwise what we'd have inside of there. Reduces the attack surface, reduces the footprint of that actual kernel, as well as helps provide a performing boot time. Getting from reset to user space is very fast. So speaking of user space, I want to talk about what the user space looks like inside of our guest. So historically, when using a large virtual machine, you have different dynamic libraries, utilities, and everything else inside of it. You're booting a full system. The file systeming, for security, we want to reduce the attack surface. So we don't have any core utilities. There's no dynamic libraries. There's no libc implementation or anything else. We created our own init process that is purpose-built just for running containers in this constrained environment. And we call it vminitd, which is written in Swift. It's statically built because there's no libraries. And it's designed to manage the full life cycle of processes associated with running a container inside that guest environment. Now, running as the initial process comes with a bunch of responsibilities before as well as during execution of containers. So it's responsible for doing things like the actual interface IP is set up, mounting the file system such as any volumes or the actual RITFS itself. It is responsible for launch and supervision of all the processes inside of it, namely the container entry point. And it has gRPC API that we have for it in order for us to be able to derive that from the host side. Looking at our three focus areas for security, privacy, and performance, with a minimal kernel, we kind of hit both security as well as performance, I would say. For direct booting, a quicker boot as well, using that static purpose-built init process helps, again, have a much faster boot time for us, as well as a reduced attack surface inside of the guest. And each workload being inside its own virtual machine kind of helps across the board, I would say, for all three of these. So let's talk about extending then. So I don't have time to really go into too much demos and everything else, but it's a command line tool to container, run, container, any image you want, as you'd expect. One of the things we wanted to look at, to make sure, So we wanted to make it so that way people can extend it for their own use cases and actually for us to easily extend it for our own internal use cases as well. So what we did was we created a plugin framework for it, and this kind of behaves a little bit like you would have for Git subcommands. So with this, it allows us to have other developers who want to contribute but don't want to make changes to the core code. Maybe they're specific for the use case or a custom workflow or anything else, they can go ahead and easily just extend what we have functionality-wise. We can just add simple CLI subcommands, or these could be different services, XPC services that maybe are tied to the lifecycle of the whole thing running, or just a container running, or anything else. So we actually use plugins today for a bunch of the components that we need in order to be able to run the baseline tool itself. And then later in the talk, I'll talk about a couple of plugins that we're kind of thinking about for open. Creating is easy. It's auto-discovery. You just drop it at a known location with a little bit of config metadata. And after that, it's picked up automatically the next time you're on the CLI command. You'll see it. So that's extending container. But containerization itself, if I were to talk to all the developers in the team, I would say that the command line tool is fine. It has high utility for people, but really they're most proud of containerization itself and all the different APIs that are provided inside of it. So with that in mind, I want to talk about how you can easily build a client like ours on top of containerization. So as I mentioned before, containerization is where the core logic is for working with Linux containers on macOS. To this end, we created many useful modules, which could be useful in their own right. You don't have to be making containers to want to use some of these or take them for anything else. So we have containerization OS, interacting with low-level OS components like terminal and different process management. We have a minimal netlink library for being able to do interface management inside of a Linux guest. We have OCI, so we can have different runtime primitives as well as different container image types and everything. Then we also create an ext401, which is, I think, pretty interesting. It makes it so that way we can create and manipulate ext4 file systems from macOS. So you don't have to boot a Linux kernel and do all this. You can actually do it directly, then have that raw block device and boot with it. Throughout all of this, we made sure to make heavy use of protocols, which in Swift really means that you can go ahead and replace this with a different implementation and make it pluggable and everything else. In addition to protocols, we really did focus on the APIs themselves, and we're not 1.0, so they still kind of move around a little bit, but really looking at it and to make sure that we have different layers for this. So at the highest level, it makes it really easy, and I'll show a quick example, to just be able to run a Linux environment on top of macOS. Kind of in the mid-level, you have different virtual machine management type of APIs or process management APIs in there. And then you can kind of go lower level where we get into more file system and Linux systems management type of layers. And they'll kind of build on top of each other, so you can go as deep as you want depending on your application. At this point, I'm going to risk trying to change to terminal and show that we can make a macOS application that uses Linux in very little code. We did it. Okay. I hope that the people in the back can see it okay. This is 38 lines in the file, of which maybe we have about 6 function calls. If I look at it, one of the top level types that we have is container manager, where this is taking a kernel and an initfs reference. So that's that minimal kernel that every container is going to use for each individual copy of it then. And then that initfs is what we do for that vim initd process that I talked about, a static build. So with that, we can now go ahead and create containers using that kind of factory. So with the container create, what we need is the reference to the actual OCI image. Again, standard OCI image that we're using, building, consuming. And then just whatever a unique name to it. You configure it for whatever resources you want. Set terminal, because I'll just do it a little echo. Because we're here, I can type that. And then this is just setting up all the metadata. After we execute that, it's pulling down and unpacking and making a block device that we can use inside the guest for that rootfs, which is the container image. We do create, we do start. This is, at this point, boot of the VM, starts the process, and then we wait. If it was a shell or an interactive or anything else, it would keep going. In our case, that wait should come back pretty quick once the echo completes. And then we'll stop, and on the defer, we'll clean up. So that was about 6 function calls, and at that point, you can have a custom macOS application. Yes, it's using a container image, but you could use, that's just a payload. You can run a Linux environment in about 10 lines and have that embedded in Swift on top of your Mac. So it built, and then if we just run it, it'll just say, hello world, eventually. Yes, okay, that took a while, I didn't like that. Why did it take so long? Okay. Bear with me as I figure out where my keyboard went. Okay. So let me tell you about Swift a little bit. Background of the team is a lot of folks who contributed Containerd, RunC authors, different tools like this. So like very container runtime focused, very C focused, and very, very Go focused. This is our first project using Swift, so I'm just going to give a few different data points of what the experience was like. First, C interoperability, with terminal and all the different containerization OS, all these different modules use a lot of syscalls and things like this, so we often do need to call into C. Compared to using Go, it was very easy. The interoperability, really, it couldn't be any easier. The second area was around enums and tag unions. This helped, it really changed how we're designing our APIs and containerization. We found them really quite nice and useful. Memory safety, again, is pretty important given our focus on security. Using optionals designed to prevent seg faults, they were pretty nice to use. In addition, it was kind of table stakes. We need a static SDK available for Linux, and it meets our needs so that we can have that minimal guest image. And we're often calling into different macOS frameworks and everything else, so being able to call Swift into these frameworks was a pretty natural and easy thing to do. Now, let's talk about the open source community aspects, tell you some of the goals we have and some of the work that we're going to be doing going forward. We open sourced it last year, and we've been really excited. It's been a pretty positive response so far. Now that it's in the open, our first priority is encouraging contributions and trying to develop in the open with a community. So we welcome all feedback, if it's issues, PRs, questions, ideas, anything. This brings us a ton of joy, so we'd love that. We're also looking forward to seeing how different projects can build on top of containerization. Since it's a standalone framework, again, developers can build directly on top of it and use the APIs to build their own custom solutions. And finally, we want to expand the container ecosystem through that plugin architecture. So transitioning to kind of more of a roadmap type of focus, we have several features and integrations which we're currently working through and thinking about. One of them is it's trying to create a container plugin that'll allow for more long-running Linux environments on top of macOS. So like less ephemeral compared to containers. I would say that a lot of this is motivated like, hey, we like how WSL does this, and kind of having that type of UX where we start to blur the Unix environments a little bit back and forth. So that's an interesting area. Another one that we're looking at is to be able to have ephemeral Kubernetes environments locally. So this is effectively like how do we work with things like Kind or Minikube or any of these. We were doing some work in order to be able to see if we could be like a provider with Kind and upstream. They were having to like, we probably won't be able to do that. Container is pretty different from a lot of the other macOS based solutions that are Kind or supporting because we do have pretty nice resource management of a one-to-one mapping of a container to a VM. So since their focus is on the other ones, essentially the feedback from Ben was like, hey, you guys should just write your own, it's easy. So we're going to look at that for ephemeral environments pretty shortly here. That'll probably be a container plugin. In addition to this, we're always looking to improve our performance. So we currently use BuildKit, and BuildKit's great. BuildKit's a de facto. Everybody should use BuildKit. Using it inside of a guest across from Swift, across the machine boundary for gRPC, it's the performance is suboptimal on our side, and we want it to be better. The problem is fixing it. It's complex as far as being able to have the equivalent functionality. So this is kind of a much larger thing that we've been talking about in the community and trying to figure out how we'd push that forward. On top of that, we want more ecosystem integration. So this is more like if we do Kubernetes, of how can we build on top of containerization to have something that would fit underneath that container runtime interface type of API and integrate so you could run a more typical Kubernetes stack on this. One of the most common things is, hey, this is cool, can I use Compose? And we say, not yet. And dev containers are kind of similar. These two, the API that they kind of have is more like the Docker CLI. So it's challenging for us to decide how much should we make it a drop-in replacement versus being opinionated for a very easy entry point. So this is still something we're looking at. There are different community PRs for adding Compose, which are super fun, but not all the way there yet. So we're still kind of working through that. Next steps, final wrapping up is if you're on a Mac, you can try it out. Again, we would really love feedback. For curious developers who want to use their own use case, check out the APIs and containerization, build your own solution or extend it with plugins. If the intersection of virtualization and containers are interesting, we are growing as well on the team. But thank you, I appreciate it. And we have stickers and some things here as well.